I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know what? God is doing a new thing in the hearts of His people. I am marveling as I'm hearing so many stories, pastors who are called out of retirement and stepping back into the pulpit, people who are switching careers, others who are going back to school or stepping out into their God-given dreams with great expectancy. It's like there's been a restlessness and a restlessness and a waiting, and all of a sudden, the time of fulfillment has come. Like something has shifted. The time to move is now. You know, new life and new possibilities are arising all around us. And in spite of the trying times in which we find ourselves, and if you immerse yourself in the bad news, if you overexpose yourself to the negative media, you're going to stop dreaming. You're going to stop being creative. You're going to stop being hopeful. But God is always up to something new. So we must not miss what He wants to do in and through each of us. He wants to do something new in and through you. My guest today writes this: God intends for you to go forward. Everything so far in your life, including your Red Sea moment of crisis, is simply God's preparation for a stronger day ahead. Perhaps you've survived your own Red Sea experiences because of God's help. Well, now it is time to move onward toward all the promises He's given you, the promised land of a rewarding future. The same God who led you out will lead you on. One of our favorites joins us today, Dr. Robert Morgan. He's here to talk about his amazing, inspiring book, The Jordan River Rules. The same God who led you out will lead you on. And we drew from this book for our fall share. And he just told me right before the show, his ministry is sending us a case of books. So we have more than five to give away, let me just tell you. And I feel like this is a timely word. As we're getting ready to exit this year and enter the next year, it is time for you to dream again. It's time for you to believe God, that He's up to something new. So we're going to give a whole slew of copies away today, and I'm so thrilled, thanks to Robert's ministry. So you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. You have a huge chance of winning a copy. It's a little hardcover book and will inspire you to no end. Quick announcement before we hear from Pastor. We are walking through the Gospel of Luke this Advent season, starting December 1st, and we'd love for you to sign up to say, hey, count me in, I'm with you. And the reason we want to do that is we want to get you a study guide, really cool reading bookmark, and also want you to know about the podcast that is hosted by our own Angela Smith as she walks through daily just short excerpts from each chapter of the Gospel of Luke. All right, Dr. Morgan, you need no introduction, but I'm going to give you one. He's the author of over 40 books with 5 million copies in print. He's appeared on numerous television and radio shows. He speaks widely at churches, conferences, and schools, and he is just one of my favorite people ever. So, Pastor, thanks for joining us again.
Well, you're one of mine too, Susie. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
So good to be with you. And we love to start every day, Pastor, talking scripture. And I know you love to just sit with God and His Word. What's He been talking about these days?
Psalm 139.
I've decided you're all ready for it. I love it.
Yeah, well, I've decided to memorize it. I've never memorized the whole psalm. I know bits and pieces of it. But my favorite verse is in Psalm 139, verse 16. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. But there is something that follows that I'd never seen before. The writer says, Lord, how many are your thoughts towards me more than all of the grains of sand on all of the ocean floors? When I think about it, I'm overwhelmed. And then he says, when I awake, I am still with you. So he is thinking about how much God is thinking about him while he is asleep. Just think about that. While we are sleeping, the Lord is staying up thinking about us, how much He loves us, how much He wants to do for us. And when we wake up, there He is. It's just no wonder the psalmist said there, it's too amazing for me to imagine.
Wow, I love that so much. This is why I asked that question. It just brings God's word to life for us. And when you wrote the book, The Red Sea Rules, which was a huge hit, and for the sake of context of this conversation about the Jordan River Rules, maybe set that book up a little bit and how that kind of preceded this one for us.
So 20 years ago, I was facing a real difficult challenge. And on the airplane, as I came back from a missions trip, I read Exodus 14, the story of the Israelites who went through the Red Sea as God parted the waters for them. And the Lord just really spoke to me through that story and said, I'm going to get you through this difficulty too. And there were 10 different principles in that story that I wrote down for myself. And later we put them into this little book, The Red Sea Rules, which has sold about 750,000 copies. Mm-hmm. Well, for years, people have been telling me that we should do a follow-up to it, and I just didn't feel the time was right. But then more recently, my son-in-law has been talking to me about it, and as my wife, Katrina, became weaker and finally passed away, and as I turned to the book of Joshua, I saw those opening words, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go onward.
Wow.
And the story of the Jordan River is that it parted the way the Red Sea had. Many people don't realize that God split waters open twice for the Israelites, once as they went out of Egypt into the wilderness at the Red Sea, and the second time as they went out of the wilderness and into the Promised Land at the Jordan River. And I began studying those first six chapters of Joshua, and it just helped me so much. And so, after 20 years, after the Red Sea rules, here came the Jordan River rules, and I hope that it will encourage many people just the way that it's encouraged me.
Pastor, your story is exactly what I was talking about at the open of the show, when there's like, you know, though it tarries, wait for it. People thought you need to write this book, and you were waiting on God, and to have your dear Katrina pass into eternity and to read that passage, get up and go. I mean, now is the time. And there's something super powerful about the fulfillment of time, you know, where there's behind the scenes, God is laying foundations. He's preparing hearts. He's shifting circumstances. We can get ahead of God and we can fall behind. But when we stay in step with him, there is nothing like stepping up when he says, go now, is there?
The timing of God is wonderful. Now, I tell people that it took the Israelites 40 years to go from the Red Sea to the Jordan River, and I did it in 20 years. But there is a wonderful little poem that says, God's wisdom is sublime, his heart unfailingly kind. He never is before his time and never is behind. There is this sense about God's timing in our lives that is critical so that we can stay synchronized to what he wants us to do. And there we develop a sense of God's timing as we survey the circumstances, as we look at the world around us or what's happening in our own lives, but also as we just spend quiet time with him and ask him to show us when we should or should not do things. And he gives us wisdom so that we can begin operating more according to his calendar and clock instead of ours.
Wow. You said the same Lord who holds your future also holds you. Don't be hostage to the past. Never get stuck in the desert. Yes, there's value in every past experience, good and bad. You can glean a lot of lessons in the desert, discover a lot of grace, and develop a lot of maturity. But it all equips you for something more. Everything so far in your life, including your Red Sea moments of crisis, is simply his preparation for stronger days ahead. I love that. Say a bit more if you would.
Well, it says in Numbers chapter 33 that God led the Israelites in stages. And I think that he leads us in stages. Our lives go through different stages. I was a happy child at home and a teenager for a number of years, and then I left to go to college. And then I graduated and got married. And then we had children. And we had all of these various stages that came. And then my wife passed away, and I'm in a new stage now. But Susie, I truly believe this. Now, somebody may disagree with me, that every stage in life is better in some significant way than the previous stage, and all of the previous stages have simply prepared us for the next stage. So we shouldn't be too afraid of change. It can be daunting when we have to relocate or some significant occurrence happens in our lives that changes things, or we send a child off to college, or we get married, or there's a divorce, or something happens that just changes our lives. But God is in charge of the change. And some of it he causes, some of it he allows, but then as we are submissive to him, he blesses. But every stage in life is one in which he wants to guide us and give us the resources we need and to help us to be ministers for him, to encourage other people and to spread his gospel. So there is never a time when we retire from doing what God wants us to do day by day. So we always look forward.
So good. You know, I often say, and we're going to talk about fear in a little bit, but the enemy so often wants to take our worst fears of our past and have us project them into a future that God's not in. As if he can do that, as if there's a scenario for the believer that exists in that regard. But we'll take the bait. You know, if God allowed this, what worse thing awaits me up front? And then absent of God. But flip to that, what you're saying is that there are treasures ahead. There's new life ahead. There's new purpose. There are some things about your season ahead that are better than your season right now. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to look at Jordan River rule number one. Realize God means for you to move forward. And friends, Pastor's Ministry, they're sending us a case of books. So you have a high chance, a very good possibility of winning a copy of this beautiful little book. And to me, this feels like a word for us, a timely word, because there's so many people that God is saying, take your eyes off the bad news, get your eyes on the good news. I'm trying to do a new thing and it's for you. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Holy is the Lord. God intends for you to go forward. Everything so far in your life, including your Red Sea moments of Christ, is simply God's preparation for stronger days ahead. Perhaps you survived your own Red Sea experiences because of God's help. Well, now it's time to move onward toward all the promises he's given you, the promised land of a rewarding future. Talking to our good friend, pastor, best-selling author, Dr. Robert Morgan, about his book, The Jordan River Rules, 10 God-Given Strategies for Moving Forward. Friends, it is time for us to move forward. His ministry has donated a case to Faith Radio, so you have a great chance of winning a copy. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Jordan River rule number one, realize that God means for you to move forward. Say more.
This is the first part of the first chapter of Joshua. And Susie, in Joshua chapter 1, the first 9 verses, God's commissioning to Joshua, I think represents the greatest leadership material ever spoken. The Lord just says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, you arise, you and all of this people, and get ready to cross the Jordan River and to go into the land that I'm going to give you. And every place where your foot falls, I will give that land to you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Be strong. He wants him to go forward. It's sort of like what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, forgetting what is behind, I stress forward towards what lies ahead and strain towards the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We don't need to go around in circles the way the Israelites did for all of those years. We need to say, Lord, what is next? What do you have next for me? And say it with anticipation. It may be that God wants us to launch a new ministry or to meet a new friend, or to make a change in our lives that will be healthier and better for us. But it's always forward thinking. The Lord is always moving us forward because that's the way He created time. There are no reverses when it comes to time, no reverse gears when it comes to the clock. So we go forward, but God is going before us and behind us. He is going with us. And He says, it's time to move on, be strong, and go into the next stage that I have for you.
Oh, I love that. You say, prepare for what God is preparing for you. Your next stage in life is God-planned. The one who knows the way through the wilderness also knows the way into the promised land. How and why do we get stuck? I mean, I always go back to the passage in the Psalms about the Israelites, and it says, my paraphrase, but they refused to believe God's promise to love and care for them, so they stayed in their tents and grumbled and refused to obey the Lord. So first they're mad because there's no promise over their life because they didn't believe it, but even though there was. So they crawl into the smallness of their circumstance, and then they grumble and complain because of the smallness of their circumstance, and then refuse to trust and obey the Lord. And, you know, is that kind of the essence of what keeps us stuck, is we just refuse to believe that God is up to something good?
Yes. I learned a great lesson when I was 18 or 19 years old from Billy Graham's wife, Ruth. I had the opportunity of meeting her, and I was telling her some of my challenges and some of my problems. And I said, Ruth, I'm very discouraged. And she said, well, do you know the story of the 12 spies in the wilderness? And I said, yes. Two of the spies trusted God, and the other 10 didn't. And she said, well, do you know the difference between them? She said the 10 spies compared themselves with the giants, but the 2 spies compared the giants with God.
Hmm.
And I can still hear it. That was been over 50 wow. years ago that she said that, but I can still remember her saying that to me. And we have a lot of giants and obstacles and adversities in life. If we compare ourselves to our problems, then we'll get stuck. But if we compare the problems with God, then we'll have the strength and the courage to go forward.
Man, love that. So how in that one line it says, prepare for what God is preparing for you. What are the best practices for just, you know, stewarding our story, preparing our hearts so that we're ready to be mobile when God says move?
I think it's important that we spend time with Him every day in Bible study and prayer. It can be done in a lot of different ways, on a subway, on a bus, on the back porch, at your chair by the fireplace. For me, it's my little desk in the corner of my bedroom. But to spend time every morning or every evening at some point on a regular basis and say, Lord, speak to me in your word, and then to ask Him for His guidance, to let Him know that we are yielded, that we want His will to be done, that we want to please Him, and to ask Him to show us what to do, to repent of our sins, and to take away some verse that we are memorizing or that we're holding in our hearts. You know, there is nothing more powerful than that. It's that dynamic daily relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us the recalibration we need every day to be ready to go forward and to serve Him.
So beautiful. Jordan River rule number 2, say no to discouragement and yes to strength. Say more.
So the Lord continued speaking to Joshua, and He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then I'll make your way prosperous, and I will give you good success. And He said, do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Be strong, because I will go with you wherever you go. And I looked up that word discouragement in the Bible, because over the years, there have been times when I've gotten very discouraged. And every time that word occurs, it is not commended, but rather forbidden for Christians. There is not a single occurrence of the word discourage or discouraging or discouragement that in any way is a recommendation that we have that attitude. The Lord wants us to be encouraged. Someone said, I forget who it was, but I wrote it down, all discouragement is from the devil, and all encouragement is from the Lord. Well, there could be other sources for encouragement, I guess, but I do believe that all discouragement is from the devil. We just cannot give in to it. Discouragement is our way of saying, I do not believe that what is happening can be used by God for my good. And that just is a violation of Romans 8:28. You know, we've talked about that verse before, Susie. Mm-hmm. So discouragement is when we say, I don't believe that God is able to manage these circumstances in a way that's going to bring him glory and turn things into a blessing here. And the Lord always has the capability of turning curses into blessings and resolving issues for his glory. So we should just galvanize ourselves against discouragement.
Appreciated how you said in that chapter that this is not about conjuring up strength like a genie in a bottle, but it really is meditating on the strength and the truth of God's word. So it's not this bootstrap, just, you know, buck up, buttercup. It really is immersing ourselves in the living, breathing power of God's word. And you even list some scripture on strength. Do you have any favorites? I mean, you are a major proponent of verse memorization. Do you have typical ones that you go to time and time again?
Well, the phrase be strong occurs so many times in the Bible that I've taken it seriously. But also the word strength and strengthen. I love the verse in 2 Chronicles that says, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout all of the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So we don't operate on the basis of our own strength. Now, I can get some bravado up that will last for a few minutes, but the strength of the Lord is like an internal and visible generator that just gives us the energy we need for daily life from a source that comes from outside of ourselves.
You know, this one, your chapter, Do Not Be Afraid, you said, in essence, fear is the sin of forgetfulness, forgetting the fathomless omnipotence of the Lord Christ and his truth. When that happens, our anxieties become a cycle of inefficient thoughts spinning through our head like a whirlwind. Accept challenges as they come, but do not magnify them. Magnify him, and he will give you the land. Say a word if you would.
Well, we're going into the Christmas season, and Mary's great song is called the Magnificat. And it comes from that word magnify. She begins her sentence saying, I will magnify the Lord. And the Bible says, let's magnify the Lord and exalt his name forever. So to magnify the Lord doesn't make him any bigger. It makes him bigger in our eyes. It's like if you have a pair of binoculars and you look at something in the distance, it doesn't make that object any bigger. It makes it bigger in our sight, bigger in our vision. So magnifying the Lord, he can't be any bigger than he is. He already is infinite. But for us to perceive that and to recognize that puts everything into perspective.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And you think about what Ruth Graham said to Pastor Robert, that with the spies that were comparing the giants to God were the ones who came back with a faithful report. Those who were comparing the giants to themselves came back without faith. You know, it does matter that we anchor ourselves to the promises of God, especially if we want to walk in the promises of God. More with Pastor Dr. Robert J. Morgan in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. I probably shouldn't sing into the mic while I still don't have a voice, but man, couldn't help myself. That's such a good song. Talking to one of our absolute favorite people on the planet, Dr. Robert Morgan, Pastor Robert Morgan, best-selling author, Pastor Robert Morgan. This little book, The Jordan River Rules, The Same God Who Led You Out Will Lead You On, 10 God-Given Strategies for Moving Forward, to me, feels like a super important word for exactly today, right now, as we are getting ready to exit this year, enter the next year. God is moving everywhere. I'm telling you, as for those who are leaning in and listening, going, I'm turning down the bad news for a while because the power of the good news is so substantial. Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. I need to be about the Father's business. God is moving people. He's calling pastors out of retirement. He's calling people back to school or to writing a book or to sell their business or to change careers. He is mobile and he's moving and he wants to move in and through you. I love this book, and the pastor told us before the show, his ministry is sending us a case of these books. And I just am thrilled about that. So you have a high chance of winning a copy if you text the word book to 877-933-2484. Jordan River Rule number 3, step up to the moment. I love this. You said our future isn't a matter of our own autonomous ambition. It really is a matter of submission to the perfect will of God. There's no point going forward if it's down the wrong path. We aren't on earth long, and it's all wasted by a self-focused life. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him, and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Whatever you tell me, wherever you send me. Say more.
Well, this is the last part of Joshua chapter 1. The first half of the chapter, God is speaking to Joshua. And the last half, Joshua goes to speak to his people. And he says, here's what we're going to do. God wants us to go forward. He wants us to cross the Jordan River. Are you ready? Are you with me? And they say to him at the very end of the chapter, whatever you tell us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Now, Susie, the significant thing is that the name Joshua is the same as the English name Jesus. Mm. One is Hebrew, Joshua, Yeshua, and the other in Greek is Iesus, and then it comes into English as Jesus, but it's the very same name, just as like my name, Robert, is Roberto in Spanish. So when I read that, I look at it and I say, they were saying to Joshua what I am saying to Jesus. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do, and wherever you send me, I will go. Now, that is commitment. That's what we used to call, when I was in college, total surrender. People would say, are you totally surrendered to Christ? And I don't know if we use that terminology anymore, but there is nothing in this world more exciting than being totally surrendered to the Lord and willing to do what he says, go where he sends us. And it feels like a risk, like we are living on the edge, but it's really not a risk at all. It is the very safest way to live.
Hmm. You know, oftentimes I've coached women over the years, and it is so interesting as I kind of inspire them to, you know, ask God some questions about what does moving forward look like for you. So often as we process, I'll find out that God has put a dream in their heart that originated from him. But because it maybe seems to would make them joyful, it would maybe inconvenience someone if they had to leave a job and do something new. They, you know, the tendency is to kind of going, this sounds like too good to be true. This sounds like it would be almost too fulfilling. It must be a self-ambitious goal. Now, there is such a thing as self-ambitious goals. As you said, our future isn't a matter of our own autonomous ambition. But I wonder how often we miss out on moving forward, stepping up to the moment, because we're misinterpreting the signs. We think, you know, the only way this can be God is if I'm eating worms in some back hut somewhere where I don't want to be, you know. And we maybe misjudge the goodness of God and the way that he calls us to live for him.
Well, the Lord will give us a desire, a love, and excitement about whatever it is that he calls us to do. I think that we have this misperception that he's going to call us to do something we don't want to do or to send us somewhere we don't want to go. And it may be initially we'll say, oh, I don't know about that. But the Lord has a marvelous way of shaping and molding our desires so that it fits his plan and his will for us. He has created us for the very things that he wants us to do. He's given us the gift, the background, the aptitude, the background for it. We have the strengths and the weaknesses and the physical makeup that he's given to us because he knows in advance what he wants us to do. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So nothing is more exciting than just saying, all right, Lord, what is it? Let's do it together.
Love that. Jordan River Rule number 4, find someone to help along the way. And you write, let's blanket our world with patience. Amen. Somebody give me an amen right there. Let's blanket our world with patience, kindness, and self-sacrifice. No scrap of sympathy is ever wasted, for God knows all of the odds and ends of our decency. Our lives are not simply a mishmash of loose threads. They are pre-planned and precious. Our deeds echo into the future, even beyond our own span of days. Listen to this, friends. The kind of things we do take on a life of their own, and only eternity will tell the full story. Wow, I love that. Say more about finding someone to help along the way.
Well, I draw this principle out of Joshua chapter 2, which is the story of Rahab, the prostitute, and the two spies. And to me, this is a very vivid picture. I've been able to visualize this in my mind. I don't know if I'm seeing it exactly correctly. But the Jordan River at this time was swollen, and it was a huge river back in those days before so much water has been diverted to irrigation. And it was almost impossible to swim across it. So these two spies must have been just tremendous athletes. And they were two of the first espionage agents in history. And they forded, they swam across this river at flood stage. And then they filed in with the crowds coming in and out of the great walled city of Jericho. They went to the one place where it wouldn't seem odd for a man in those days, a stranger, to go, which was to the brothel. And then Rahab recognized who they were. She was kind to them. She hid them at the risk of her life. And then they were kind to her. And they said, "We will save you from this place because you have been kind to us." It was with these rugged people, two hardened athletic spies, and one odd prostitute. There was an exchange of kindness that literally led to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Rahab became a part of Israel, and she is listed in our Lord's genealogy.
It's amazing.
It is just amazing, the long life that simple kindness had.
Wow, that's so good. Here's another one I love, Jordan River Rule number 5. Expect God to guide you where you've never been before. And friends, at the open of this show, Pastor Robert was saying how each stage of life, you know, life happens in stages. There's something better in the next stage for us. And he's saying that as someone who lost his beautiful wife, well, didn't lose her. She's in heaven. She's in eternity. But the idea that God, every previous stage we've been through, prepares us for the stage we're in and the place we're going. And there's goodness up ahead. There's promise. There's strength. There's wisdom. There are treasures. And that doesn't mean to say we're not going to have hard, hard times, but there's goodness up ahead. And I think we need to tell our souls that. And you said, you don't know what the future holds, not even tomorrow. You're heading where you've never been before, but Jesus goes before you with his power, his precepts, and his provision. All you need to do is make the most of tomorrow's sunshine or shadows. Say more.
The Bible is a very eloquent book. Some of the phrases, even in the historical books of the Old Testament, are so beautiful. And in Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priests, you are to break camp and to follow it, for you have not traveled this way before." And what a phrase that is for all of us. We have not traveled this way before. Some people are making changes to their lives. They've never done before what they're about to do. They've never lived before where they're about to live. They've never practiced the profession that they're about to enter. And for all of us, really, we just don't know what lies ahead. We haven't traveled this way before, but the Ark of the Covenant was the earthly footstool of the Lord's heavenly throne. It represented his being among his people, ruling and reigning. And Joshua said, stay close to that symbol of God's presence, because he knows the way. And the fact is, Susie, that God is eternal, and so he knows the future as well as the past. He knows exactly what's going to happen a day, 1,023 days from now. He knows every detail about it. So we can trust him. He's our great shepherd. He's the guide who leads us in paths of righteousness.
So good. Jordan River Rule number 6, prepare today for tomorrow's wonders. How do we do that?
This is in the same chapter, Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. The commandment here from Joshua was, consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. So consecrate yourselves. That means that the New Testament word is sanctify. But again, it just means to yield, to prepare yourself spiritually, to confess your sins and rededicate yourself to the one who died and rose again for you and who's going ahead and who has a future for you, and just give yourself fully to him and wait to see what he does for you tomorrow. The Lord uses us in ways beyond what we know. And the thing is, Susie, sometimes we don't see the results of what we're doing, but the Bible says our labor in the Lord is not in vain. I've got a feeling that he is using us more than we know, and that the wonders of tomorrow are going to be more wonderful than we can understand.
Wow. Amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. You know, thinking about the idea of consecrate yourselves. I remember when in 2019, Kevin and I often, you know, every year really, in the last month of the year, start to really press in and ask God, what do you want from us? Again, what baggage can we leave behind? What promises do you want us to lay hold of? And I remember in 2019, and that last month especially, the Lord kept calling us to a purity of heart. Just continue to press in and ask him, search our hearts. And he did, and he'd show us angst and different things. And he just raised a standard for our hearts that was surprising. But little did we know we were heading into COVID, heading into social unrest, heading to so much offendability and so much distress, that to walk into that 2020, you know, the pure in heart see God. It was like he was speaking to us ahead of time and getting us ready. And he does that. I mean, when you think about consecrating yourselves and you go, what would you have me do, Lord? Is there anything in my life that needs to go so I can hear you with more clarity? He's very glad to answer those kinds of prayers, isn't he?
He is. And we need times when we can reset. You know, that's a big word today, to reset. We need times when we can reset our lives. And I've been going really hard and furious this year, and I feel worn down. And I'm going to take 3 or 4 days, actually 5 days, and just go off to a resort. And I'm taking some books I've found in my Bible, and I just feel that I need it. I just need a little peace and quiet. And I think that, you know, we can't always take 5 days. I've not done anything like this since Katrina passed away. So it's been over 2 years, but I need to get away and just think and pray and hike and be in the sunshine a little bit. And I think we need periods like that when we can evaluate. We can say, like the psalmist said in Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, and know my ways. Try me. See if there is any anxious ways in me, and lead me in the path everlasting.
So good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to look at Jordan River rule number 7, trust God to turn problems into pathways. Talking to big time best-selling author, pastor, Dr. Robert Morgan. His book, it's a little hardcover book, The Jordan River Rules. The same God who led you out will lead you on. 10 God-given strategies for moving forward. I feel so strongly this is a word right now for this day, for the many. Maybe you feel the restlessness. Maybe you've been waiting. For the vision, and God's saying, though it tarries, wait for it. It will come. Maybe you're just on the cusp of it, and it is time for you to start preparing your heart to step into the next things that God has. Pastor Robert's ministry is donating a full case of these books for us. So you have a great chance of winning a copy today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
One day he's coming over.
having a powerful conversation with Pastor Robert Morgan, and I'm just hearing from so many of you saying, you know, this is what Erica writes in. This author and his book are speaking directly to me. I'm on the cusp of a new thing that God's doing in me. Thankful for the godly wisdom and advice. Someone else texted and said, we are about on the cusp of something new. God has led us to make a major life change. It's so exciting because this is a time when God is moving, and we will numb out and we will miss out if we are just letting the noise in our ears. I want to stay up on the news, and I do my share, but I know when it's killing my soul. I know when it's dampening my faith, and it's making me cynical. And we have to steward our perspective right now because God is doing new things all around. And Pastor Robert's book, The Jordan River Rules, the same God who led you out will lead you on 10 God-given strategies for moving forward. I can't possibly stress enough how much I feel like this is one of those now words for us. And his ministry has offered a full case of books to give away. So you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. I will tell you, we've got a lot of texts, so not everybody's getting one, but a lot of people will get a copy. So the Jordan River Rule number 7, trust God to turn problems into pathways. Say more.
And here we come to the parting of the Jordan River and the last part of Joshua chapter 3. This was an amazing thing. Now, a lot of people who are listening maybe have been to Israel or they have seen pictures of the Jordan River, and it's a very small river right now because so much water has been diverted by irrigation. But back in biblical times, even back 100 years ago, this was a major river, and at flood stage, it was virtually impassable. But all at once, the Lord said to these priests, you go forward and put your feet into the water at the edge. And when they did that, bearing the Ark of the Covenant, then it was like a big invisible glass dam fell right over that water, and it started piling up to the north and drying out to the south. And the Israelites went through that barrier as on dry ground. And it was really a remarkable thing, but it was designed to remind them of what the Lord had done 40 years earlier with the parting of the Red Sea. And the Lord doesn't always part rivers for us, but he does have a way of getting us to the other side. He knows how to create the openings. He knows how to turn obstacles into opportunities. And when negative things happen or we have problems that we don't know how to solve, we say, Lord, I'm going to give you this, and we pray through it and we persevere through it, and the Lord turns the problems into pathways that lead us forward.
Yeah, he's so faithful, so faithful. Jordan River Rule number 8, build a monument. And listen to this, friend. The Almighty has a unique plan for each of us that involves leaving a legacy with an echo chamber that will reverberate until Christ returns. Don't underestimate how the next stage of your life will influence generations yet unborn. Find a way to preserve a testimony. It can be monumental.
This is the fourth chapter of Joshua, which is surprising how much time the Lord devotes in his Bible to the fact that the Israelites were to build a monument marking the event of the parting of the Jordan River. But the reason was so that future generations would be reminded of that miracle. And Susie, our lives are all miracles. They are filled with miracles, great and small, that the Lord does. We all have a testimony, and we should leave some record of that testimony. It can be in a document that we write. It can be in a video that we tape. It can be in so many different ways. But our children and grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, our friends, the people that follow us, ought to have some record of what God has done in our lives. This is a forgotten area of spiritual discipline, but I think it's so important that we do this.
Boy, I so agree. It's really is sowing seeds for future generations and being faithful with the story. Thank you, Lord. Jordan River Rule number 9, you're not in charge, but remember who is.
In chapter 5 and 6 of Joshua, having crossed the Jordan River, now Joshua hasn't a clue about how to take that city of Jericho, and he is out reconnoitering when he sees this strange captain of the Lord's host with his sword drawn. And this represents God. In fact, I think the captain of the Lord's hosts is Jesus himself, the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, the second Yahweh, some people call him in terms of his Old Testament appearances. And he says, here is what to do. I'm in charge of this. And there are so many times that we have a difficulty, like the city of Jericho. It's an obstacle there, and we don't know what to do, but we're not in charge. We are in such a helpless position in terms of so many different areas of our lives, more than we think. Sometimes we think we're in charge, but the Lord is in charge. He is sovereign. He is on his throne. He is reigning from on high, and he knows how to take care of all of the details of our lives, things that are big, things that are small. He's the captain of the Lord's hosts.
Amen and amen. Jordan River Rule, number 10, encircle obstacles with biblical faith and shout the victory. Wow, I love that one.
This is the story of the city of Jericho. And it's, you know, one of those stories that many of us learned in Sunday school. But the lessons maybe we need to learn all over again, that we have to circle problems the way the Israelites went around Jericho. We have to encircle them with prayer, with perseverance, with patience, with the presence, and with the power of the Lord. And then at the right time, we have to just shout the victory. You know, sometimes I'm not a big one for shouting. I say in the book that even at ball games, I don't shout a great deal. I'm an introvert. But sometimes I just go out in the backyard where nobody is around, and I'll say in an elevated tone, praise the Lord. And, you know, it does us a lot of good.
Yeah, so, so true. I wonder, Pastor, if you could share breakthroughs in your story, places where God led you forward that were a surprise blessing to you. Like, I didn't see it coming. If I wouldn't have followed, if I wouldn't have been prepared to move, I would have missed this. What would you say those experiences have been for you?
Yes, there are so many of them. When I was pastoring in my first church, it was a very small country church. I'd been there for a year and a half. Katrina and I were very happy there with the people, but there wasn't very much opportunity. There were just a few people in that remote area. And I began praying that God would give me a bigger church. And a church from Chicago called. And so they said, we want you to come to be our pastor. And I said, well, let me pray about it, and then I will. I just assumed that I would be, you know, that this was the next step. But as I prayed about it, I didn't have any peace. And I called them back. I can't explain why, but I just said, I don't think this is God's will. And I hung up the phone, and I thought, what have I just done? I'm so disappointed. But the very next day, the church that I'm at now in Nashville called.
Oh, wow.
And they asked me to come and pastor, and I've been here now for 43 years.
Wow.
So you know, the Lord can turn disappointments into his appointments. And I'm just thankful that I somehow he helped me to hear his voice. And he does that for us. He helps us to hear his voice as we pray and wait before him.
Man. And we cannot underestimate the power and the gift of his peace. You know, that his peace is such a marker for us as far as going forward of waiting on him. I don't know what I would do without the peace of God or even the lack thereof if I'm about to make a move, you know?
Yes, we need inner peace. A good conscience is what Paul says in 1st and 2nd Timothy. He said that over and over again. And none of us are perfect, so we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who pleads on our behalf and helps us to find forgiveness day by day of our faults and failures. But to walk with the Lord and to hear his voice and to know his peace and to visualize his presence around us gives us the courage to cross over those Jordan rivers, to go on to the next stage in life, and to do it for his glory, and to do it for his kingdom. It's the most exciting kind of life a person can possibly live. It's not for us, it's for him. But in him, we find everything that we need.
Amen. Imagine, friend, living out the fullness of God's call for you. You know what? Eventually, when you start to take the risks, engage your faith, and you think, I was made for this. Yes, the good news is, the bad news is still on the news, but you have it in perspective. Like Pastor said, you start to compare your giants to the size of your God, and you just keep forging ahead. I pray this encouraged you today. The same God who led you out will lead you on. Pastor, thank you for your generosity to give so many books away today. We love today's show. God
bless
you.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com.
And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.